obstacles or opportunities. Very important sermon. I start off with a question. Are you settling for more or are you settling for less? Do you ever pray for abundance to supply your need and the needs of others? Or do you pray just to get by? I used to have a lady in the church here. And I don't know why it used to annoy me when she used to say these words. I just want to make my bills. It used to annoy me. I just want to make my bills. That said to me that I'd be satisfied with just getting by. Nothing left over to bless anyone else, but just enough to get by. The Bible says in John 10 and 10, the thief, and everyone knows what that is, cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The enemy doesn't want you to prosper. He doesn't want you to prosper in any area of your life, whether it's financial, social, emotional, spiritual, psychological. He doesn't want you to prosper. He will do everything in his power, in his agenda, to stop you. Jesus said in the same verse, I am come, that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, I realize the prosperity preachers have gone to some extremes with that message. But I don't think they're totally incorrect in preaching the abundant life. Because if we didn't come into some blessing and abundance, we would only be able to live a mediocre, meager life and not give anything extra to others, like a gift to our children on their birthday, a new bicycle, something for someone you really love and care about. I'm not talking about extremism. I'm talking about what God wants to do for you. Ephesians 3:20 says, one of my favorite verses, now, present moment, unto him that is able. His arm is not broken. His leg is not crippled. Who is able to do, verb, action word, exceeding, abundantly, above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. That's the word of God. I didn't write that. In 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 25, it says this, and Judah and Israel dwelt safely, listen to the words now, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, from Dan even to Beersheba, all the days of Solomon. What does that mean? What does that mean? I mean, God wants to bless you. God wants to put you somewhere. God wants to place you. God wants to give you a habitation with a fruit tree outside and a grapevine somewhere, so to speak. He wants to give you something. He wants to bless you. The Bible tells us if we who are evil give good gifts unto our children, how much more does our God, who is our Heavenly Father, want to give good gifts unto His children? We've missed something somewhere. We've left something out somewhere. We have forgotten the omnipotence of God and the greatness of God and the richness of God. We've become too theological. In the Old Testament, Moses sent out them to spy out the land Sort of a compromise, because God already said to go possess the land. So Moses said, okay, this is what we'll do. Numbers chapter 13, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send them out. Send thou men. Men. God's looking for men. I told my guys yesterday in the prison church, I said, God is not looking for men who go to the beauty parlor and get their nails done. He's not looking for men who get pedicures at the beauty parlor. He's looking for men who will stand up and lead their families and lead their wives and lead their children and leave a posterity in this earth. He called men who were supposed to be men, which I give unto the children of Israel. Numbers 13 and 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I gave unto the children of Israel. I gave it to them. It's yours. Of every tribe of their fathers shall send ye a man. A man. Not a wimp. And then what does he say? Everyone a ruler among them. That's a man. That's a leader. A spiritual leader. A strong man. A man that knows what's going on. A man that can take charge. A man that can lead people. Adam was created by God outside the garden. Adam was made from dust. God got down and breathed breath into the nostrils of Adam and placed him in the garden and said, take care of business. Know what's going on with your wife. Know what's going on in the garden. Know what's going on. Adam was given a direct order and a command by God to take care of business. But what did Adam become? He became a passive man. He became a follower instead of a leader. He disobeyed God. He didn't do what God said to do. And what happened? He got thrown out of the Garden of Eden with his wife Eve. And that's why we sweat at our brow. That's why we perspire when we pull weeds from the garden. That's why we have to go to work and do what we're supposed to do to feed our families, because of the curse that came upon the world. The disobedience, the sin. And man has not learned from that. Man has not learned from the prototype of Adam, because men fall right into the same pit and become just like Adam. Not paying attention. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran, and all those men were heads of the children of Israel. They were supposed to be somebody. They were supposed to be rulers, men of God, men that led their families. Okay, give me 12. Men must step up and be leaders that God has called us to be. We must consider Adam and learn from him what not to do, lest our families become vulnerable to the enemy of our soul. You listen, this message goes on tape. It'll go out somewhere in cyberspace. And if you're a man this morning, listen, what you do or don't do is going to determine the destiny of your family. What you do or don't do is going to determine the destiny of your family. The decisions you make today will have a consequence tomorrow, positive or negative. Have an influence on your children tomorrow and every day of their lives after. The Bible says in Numbers 13 and 17, and Moses sent them out to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up to the mountain and see the land. See the land. What is it? And the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak or few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that may they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage. It takes courage to be a man. It takes courage to be a Christian. It takes courage in anything you set out to do. It takes courage. Without courage, you'll never get there. Because the opposite of being courageous is being a coward. And a lot of men are wimping out and becoming cowards in life because they're crybabying, like the children of Israel, which God warned us in the book of Corinthians, not to become a bunch of murmurers and crybabies. Step up to the plate. Put your boots on, put your socks on, put your pants out, and go back out there in that world and do battle with the whole armor of God. This is what God is saying to us. He says, and be of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land, because now was the time of the first ripe grapes. What was God saying? Explore and see the possibilities. People don't explore and see the possibilities of life. They just maintain. They just stay put. They stay on their duff. There's no vision for the future. There's no vision for their life. No hope. They're just happy making their bills. They're just happy maintaining. God was saying, go into the land and look at the pros and cons. Look at the cons. Look at what's going on. Look at the good things. Look at the bad things. Explore the possibilities. Look at the strengths and the weaknesses of this land. God said, when you go in the land, spy it out. Look at everything. Look at the land. Look at the people. Look at the good. Look at the bad. Look at the cities. Look at the lodging. Be thorough. People don't explore possibilities today. People have allowed themselves to become so beaten down that they don't have enough energy to muster up to explore possibilities that God might have across the street or up the road. Some people just say, hey, this is what I am, this is what I got, and this is what I'm going to be for the rest of my life. Who are you going to bless? How are you going to be remembered? Are we going to be a prototype of Adam and become a shell of a person, whether we're a man or a woman or a boy or a girl? So what happened? The Bible says in Numbers 13, 21, and 22, so they went up and they searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob as men came unto Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahamahan, Sheshai, Talmai, and the children of Anak were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Now what happened? They go up to search the land. And God was telling them it's a land made of milk and honey. There's silver and gold there. There's jewelry. There's bicycles for your children, so to speak. There's four-wheelers. There's houses. There's orchards. There's all kinds of things. There's cattle. There's fertile land. There's crops. And God says, I want to give you all that. Not because of who you are or what you've done, but because I've made a covenant with Abraham. And I want to bless my people because I am a good father. And all of this I give you. What was he saying? Search out. Look at the winding roads. Look at the course. Spy it out. Seek it out. Catch sight of something difficult. Look at what's good, what's bad, and different. 40 days. God said, I'll put you there, and no one will hurt you. You'll go about, even though there's giants in the land. I got your back. I got you covered. Don't you worry about it. I'm with you. Either we believe that, friends, or we don't believe that. Either we believe that God is with us always, or we don't believe that. Either we believe God is with us in this present moment, or we don't believe that. Either we believe that the steps of a righteous man or woman are ordered by the Lord, or we don't believe that. Either we believe that where we are spiritually right now, where God has placed us, is where God wants us. Because if you can't accept that fact, then you're not really being led by the Spirit of the living God. You're telling God he's making a mistake. You're telling God you got it all wrong. God, I know you wanted to give me this land, but you know what? But listen, look what happened here. It's just like us today. There's no difference. The Bible says to bring back proof. So in Numbers 13, 23, and 24, and they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and they cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. And the place was called the brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. You know what? They had a big stick. And they say these bunches of grapes were like 2 feet long. And they were so heavy that men had to put one stick on one shoulder and the man in front had to put a stick on the other to carry just the grapes back to the congregation to give proof that it is a land that's blessed by God. God said, bring back proof. Bring back proof. And the Bible says they returned from searching the land after 40 days in Numbers 13 and 25. But here enter the joy suckers. Here enter negativity. Here enter murmurs. Here enter those that don't have gratitude. Here enter those that think God is making a big mistake in their life. Herein enters the theologians, the philosophers, the people who say, I know better than God, I know better than anyone else, because I am a man that's very, very smart. Look what it says in Numbers 13 and 26. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. This is the proof of it. Flowing with milk and honey means this is rich, choice land, and anything that you can imagine that God would want to give you is in this land. Man, you talk about a deal. You talk about a blessing. You talk about the brown truck coming, UPS, and saying, man, I got a big gift for you. How big? It's so big that I got to put you in the truck and take you there because it's called Canaan's land. And when you get there, you're going to have to sign for it. You kidding? Who sent the gift? It says God, G-O-D. That's all I know. The dispatcher told me to come to your house, put you in the brown truck, and take you to the border and drop you off at Canaan's land because I just have my orders and you just need to sign your name here. And who is the person that's giving you this gift? It's God. Sounds like we would accept that, wouldn't we? Huh. If someone came to you, hey, sis, you had a graduation party yesterday. I'm sure you got gifts. Did you tell those people yesterday, oh, I don't need no gifts? No, take the card back. No, you know, you didn't have to do that. I just wanted you to come to have a piece of cake and a glass of punch with me. You accepted the gifts, right? You should. You earned it. Someone wanted to bless you. Someone wanted to love you and show their love for you and your hard work in school. So they gave you a blessing, and you received it. And you thank God, say, wow, I didn't know that person would give me that blessing. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I'm sure you said thank you numerous times yesterday. What happened here? The great word, nevertheless, was equal to the word but. We have all this proof. And what God said is really true. What God said is very accurate. Nevertheless, oh, here we go now. Oh, boy, this is going to be tough, people. This is going to be a hard road. I know there's houses and trees and fruit and all silver and gold and jewelry and bicycles and all this good stuff for my kids, four-wheelers. Woo! But nevertheless, here's the joy suckers. The people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak, and they're the giants. They're big people, man. You can't believe how big these guys are. You can't believe how tall these guys are. Man. Go on. And not only do the children of Anak live there, the giants, but the Amalekites dwell on the land, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Lord have mercy, you can't believe how many people are out there that would be against us. Oh, my. My. Oh, boy, Lord. Lord, we got to think about this. Lord, we need a committee meeting. We need to establish a committee, Lord, to discuss this matter. You want to give us land that's so blessed, but God, what about these situations of all these people that will come against us? When God says, I want to give you a blessing, he wants to give you a blessing. When God says, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world, and that means where you are right now, praise God, don't worry about the giants, don't worry about the joy suckers, don't worry about negativity, don't worry about what people say, just go into that territory and take the blessing and accept it from God and say, thank you, Jesus. Nevertheless, well, there was a man that stepped up to the plate. You see, out of those 12 spies, there's only two real men in that group. Only two. And in Numbers 13 and 30, Caleb stilled the people. You know what he did? He was a man of wisdom. And he said, hold your peace and hold your tongue and quit murmuring and quit being joy suckers, because you're affecting 3 million people in the congregation here. Your words are discouraging to every family that's here. Your words are discouraging to your wife and to your children and to your grandchildren and to everyone that's here. And you're so quick with the mouth. He used the word stilled, and the word stilled in Hebrew means to hush. Hold your peace, hold your tongue, keep silent, be still, shut up, stop the zeet. Quit mouthing off, being a baby. He said, let us go up at once. We believe God's leading us. We believe this is where God put us. Let's go up at once and possess it, for we are able to overcome it. That's what the word says. That's what the word says. We are able to overcome it. But the men, you know what the word possess means there? It means not only to occupy and possess the land of blessings, but it means to siege. It means to expel and to impoverish the enemy, to ruin him, to cast him out, to consume him, to disinherit him and dispossess him from that land that God has given the children of Israel. Listen, when God says he wants to give you something, he'll do something with the enemies in the land. Amen. He'll do something with the opposition. He'll do something about those that oppose us. No weapon formed against us shall prosper, saith the Lord. Even do we believe that or do we not believe that? Either we're going to believe the word of God in the last day, or we better just fold up and go home and be a bunch of sissies. Further negativity, further joy suckers. Because you know what negativity does? It spreads like wildfire, like cancer in your body. It starts with a spot on your lung. It goes to your gallbladder, goes to your liver. And before you know it, they give you 3 weeks to live. That's what negativity does. That's what murmuring does. It's a discouraging spirit. It's a spirit of fear and a spirit of cowardice. It's a spirit of, I'm not willing to be what God says I need to be. And we think we're going to get away with that. You see, the children of Israel, they're trying to bargain here. Negativity continued in Numbers 13 and 31. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Caleb at this point is a 40-year-old man of wisdom. He's a 40-year-old man that's been in life. He stills the voice of the people and he says, listen, let us go up at once. Let's not hesitate. And then he gets rebuked by the other 10 spies who say, we be not able to go up, after Caleb said, we are able to go up. I am able to do all things through Christ. Why? Because God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I ask or think, according to the power that worketh in me. Either we got it or we don't have it. Here's what happened. In And here's what will happen to every man that murmurs and crybabies and doesn't step up to the plate. You'll destroy your family. Listen to me. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Don't go there. They'll get you. It's like years ago when Pokemon came out. Remember Pokemon, Jane? Remember that game? Gotta get you. Monsters are gonna get you. Yeah, get you. Fear. Who's gonna get me today? Who's gonna sabotage me today? Who's gonna set me up today? Who's gonna be on my nerves today? Wimps. Rebuking the man of God, opposing him in public, saying, you don't know what you're talking about. Fine. Do it your way. Let's see how it turns out. Go against this book, it's disobedience. Go against this book, there's negative consequences. Go against this book, this is a legal book. Go against this book and do the opposite of what God says, you're in big trouble. Obey this book and you'll be blessed. Obey this book and you will have the blessings of God. That's why Joshua told the people, choose whom this day, who you'll serve. Today, every day you wake up. Sure, there's obstacles out there. Sure, there's giants out there. Sure, there's opposition out there. Sure, there's people out there that hurt my feelings. Sure, there's people out there that don't like me. Sure. I'm not going to curl up in bed and put the sheet over my head and quit. I'm going to fight. I'm going to show them who I am in Christ. I'm going to show them I got the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to show them I got the love of God. I'm going to show them that God is omnipotent. Because the Bible says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. What am I saying about God if I whimper and run away? What am I saying? I'm saying, first of all, I'm not really a Christian. I don't really believe what I say I believe. And God isn't that strong. Because this little thing here that wants to flick at us is going to knock us over. Man, what are we going to do in the last days when life gets a little tougher, my friends? You listen to what I'm telling you. They brought back an evil report. You know what the evil report means in Hebrew? It means slander. They defamed God. They were saying God's a liar. You can't go in that land and survive because those people there are bullies. Don't you realize that the giants were bullies? They were tyrants. And you know, that's the problem today. There's bullies in the workforce. There's bullies in school. There's bullies in our family. And you know why bullies are bullies? Because no one stands up to them. No one tells them to shut up. I learned that early in life in the city. Us boys used to wake up early on Saturday morning, go get the court for softball at PS 204. Early in the morning, we were playing ball. And about 11 o'clock, the bully strolled into the schoolyard. First words out of their mouth, get off the court. Paid no attention. Paid no attention to them, Jimmy. Playing ball, having a good time. Been out there since 8 o'clock in the morning. Just kind of, I used to play third base sometimes just to build up my reflexes because I was a left-handed thrower. I build up my reflexes. Guy be yakking in my ear. Get off the court. Let's play ball, practicing, playing. Had a great team. We had one of the best softball teams in Brooklyn. Get off the court. Finally, here's what you do. You throw your glove down. You step out from third base and you say, listen, we've been here since 8 o'clock in the morning. Put up or shut up. You want the court? Fight me for it. You want the court? Fight me for it. Come on. That's how we live here. Don't you think you're going to walk in here 11 o'clock in the morning and take over the court that we've been here for 3 hours? So put up or shut up, mister. Ooh, go! Go somewhere else. Because you don't belong here. And guess what? You stood up to it. We weren't trying to be no macho man. We're not. Listen, you got to fight for who you are. You got to fight and tell the bully, guess what? This is what I say. I work in a prison system. And I'm a man. And I watch other men, how they deal with each other. And some men have rank over others. But I've watched men with less rank turn around and say, shut up. Just shut up. Because you know what? You're nothing. You're nothing. Nobody likes you. Nobody wants you. You're nothing. And you're not going to be no bully to me because you know what? That's in the employee manual. I've watched people go tell people some choice words and walk away. Maybe that's not right. But guess what? Men are men. Men are men. You want to play? Okay, we can play. You know, some people can give it, but they can't take it. Some people can give it, but they can't take it. These people here, we have bullies in school now. Now you shut up a bully, you tell him put up or shut up. You don't talk to him. You say put up or shut up. Because you know what I found out about bullies growing up? They're powerless. They're afraid. They walk around like Johnny Barbell, but inside they're very insecure people that have no power and no authority. I've seen little people in school stand up to the big bullies and whip them. I've seen little guys in school stand up to a big bully like a giant, and the bully, oh, I mean, I'm not here for trouble, man. I watched that growing up. I saw that. People trying to intimidate other people. This is what these giants were trying to do. They were trying to intimidate the children of Israel. Caleb said, no, we could do this. Further negativity. Numbers 13:33, and there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. We were just grasshoppers. You know what he was saying? We're nobody. No, we are somebody. We're God's people. He found us, my God, outside the gate. He forgave us. He died for us. The blood of Jesus was shed for us. My God, it's time to stand up, not to walk on all fours. It's time to be men and women of God and say, God, here I am. People are afraid. Ruled by fear. Faith helps us to see problems not as obstacles, but opportunities for God to work in our lives. Obstacles are opportunities for God to work in our lives. But here's the problem. It's called self-perception. We call it operating image where I work. Self-perception. They saw themselves as small, as grasshoppers in the sight of giants. Listen, how you see yourself is going to be how you act. I want to tell you something. And not saying nothing about myself, but giving glory to God. When I walk in a room, I'm the man. That might sound braggadocious. When I walk in that prison, I'm the man. I'm the man of God. I'm full of God's Spirit. When I walk in a room, I'm the man. When I walk on campus, I'm a man. You know, people who have authority in our prison, when inmates see them, they're supposed to call attention. How many times people call attention for me and they're not supposed to? Why do they do that? Because I walk with pride. I walk with integrity. And all I say, as you were, I don't make a big deal about it. They're not supposed to call attention for me, but they do. They respect me. Because you walk with pride and integrity. I don't walk cowardly. I don't walk like a wimp. I don't walk like I'm afraid of my own life, that I can't fight myself out of a paper bag. I'm here because I'm a man of God. God put me here, and I'm here until God moves me. And that's why people respect me, because of what God has done in my life. That's why people talk to me and ask me for help. That's what we're there for, folks. We're there to bring the lost an image of God. We're there to bring the lost our testimony. We're there to bring the lost our courage and boldness in Jesus. That's why we're there. We're not just there to make money. We're not just there to be blessed. God is blessing us. But we're there to show people who we are in Jesus. We're there to show people when they're in need, when their wife or husband leaves them, when their son is hurting, when their child's in the hospital. Hey, chaplain, Reverend, can you pray for me? How many times during the week, Rev, pray for me, Rev, pray for me. I am praying for you, and I do, and I am praying for you. Because there's a respect there, and you earn respect. When you stand up tall, and you're not afraid to be a man of God, people will look at you. Listen, I know correction officers that are Christian men, and they're well respected in our prison by their own people. And when their name is mentioned, it's mentioned with honor. Because people know, you see that man there who wears that gray suit? He's a God man. You see that man that wears that gray suit? He's a God man. He believes like the chaplain. He believes like the Rev. He's a God man, and you can trust him. That's what the world's looking for. They're looking for someone they can trust and love and believe in. They're looking for integrity. Listen to me. Faith, self-perception. How does God see you? They failed to see themselves as God saw them. They were his chosen people. They were backed by his promises in the word of God, and they were given this land called Canaan by God. The job that I have was given to me by God. Given to me. Even though I became a certified chaplain way back in 1989, I was promised two prisons that I was supposed to go to, one after the other. They reneged on it. I went to work in a children's home for 7 years, and I got a call from Albany. We'd like for you to interview at Willard. I said, I'm not interested. You know why I reacted that way? Because I reacted with resentment and bitterness. That's why. I don't need you. But you know what? Jimmy, God was setting that up. And an older gentleman who was like a dad, he said to me, Fred, for me, I want you to go for the interview. I said, okay, just for you. He said, this is you. Counseling, one-on-one, preaching, this is you, Fred. I know it. Please go. I went, and they kept me for 3 hours. They wanted me to sign that day. I went home and I said to my wife, I said, I don't know if I want to work in a prison. You know, sometimes us men, we don't listen to our wives. Have you ever noticed that? My wife sat down with me and she said, you need this. You need this. This is from God. You know, when my wife says things, she says it because she's a woman of God. She has faith. She walks hand in hand with Jesus. So I looked at her and I said, okay, I'll do it. I'm starting my 19th year, August 1st, August 4th of this year. God placed me there so I could be a blessing to my family, send my children to college debt-free, get wonderful benefits, vacation days, sick days, personal days, holidays. I'm at the place now where I get a bonus once a year for longevity, Sister Rose. I got bumped up to the next level for the first time this year. I got my check and I went, what's this? They must have made a mistake. No, they didn't. I said, wow. I get hazard duty pay. I get extra money per hour. I said, what's going on? God's blessed me. I've been able to bless my church. I've been able to bless other people. It's a good feeling. This is what I'm talking about. It's exciting. Did I want to go there? No. And then I'm looking at a computer screen one day, and I notice that I'm signed up for shock camp, boot camp. I run across the hallway to Barney McCoskey. I said, Barney, why is my name on there? Oh, he starts laughing. With a parole officer, what's her name? The big tall lady who retired. Miss Praise the Lord. I was in boot camp, and the first 3 days I came home, I said to my wife, I got to quit. And I said, these guys are hollering at me. Man, I was born in Brooklyn, New York. Someone's going to get hurt. Someone's going to get hurt. They're doing this to me. My dad, you never touched him. He knocked you right out. You never touched my dad. And I was the same way. And I had Simeon for my drill instructor. I went home, sat down with my wife, and said, I think I'm going to quit. She looked at me again. My God, listen, men, listen to your wives once in a while. She said, you're going to quit. And what are you going to tell those men? I said, what? Church. What are you going to tell those men? You quit? They're doing it for 3 months. All you got to do is for a month. You going to quit? And that finger. Ooh. You ever see that finger? There's like an extension on that finger. Ooh. I said, I won't quit. 19 years later, I'm still there working for God. And I've met some wonderful people along the way. Have I met some cantankerous people? Absolutely. Absolutely. But you know what? There was blessings in that land. There was blessings beyond that gate. And there are still blessings for me beyond that gate. Are there giants there? Absolutely. Are there bullies there? Absolutely. Are there some people there that don't care for what I do and preach? Absolutely. Listen, our perception must come from God. Numbers chapter 14, verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice. Listen how negativity travels, how it's contagious. The whole congregation lifted up their voice and cried. And the people wept that night. They're crying. You got 3 million crybabies now because of 10 men. Caleb and Joshua should have took those 10 men outside the camp and whacked them. They should have took those 10 men outside the camp and whacked them. Just like a doctor cuts cancer out of someone's body, he should have took those 10 men and stoned them. Because now everybody's crying. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. Oh my, you're kidding me. I can't believe this is coming out of your mouth. Oh, would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? I can't believe they said that. You want to go back to what? Garlic and leeks? You want to go back to what? To your past? You want to go back to where? The place of security? That's secure? When God has moved us on to better pastures, with his green Kentucky bluegrass to eat so that we can produce milk and bless others. I can't believe that these people who God brought across the Red Sea, who God said, I want to give you this land and I'll take care of every giant in that land, they rejected it. Just like people today reject the blessings of God because they always have these two words, nevertheless and but. Excuses. And after a number of days in which they searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall you bear your iniquities even 40 years, and you shall know my breach of promise. You know what God was saying? For every day that you went into that land, I'm going to turn it into a year in the wilderness. And you're going to die there. You know how many funerals there were daily? Do you know how much mourning and sorrow was there daily? You know why? You know why? Because they murmured. And they criticized Moses. And they said, you don't know what you're talking about. And Moses said, okay, believe what you want. But you're going to die. And not only are you going to die, but your family's going to die. So think about it. Listen. You ever hear the saying, a day late and a dollar short? It's kind of like people in our program. They come to our program for a couple of days, and they see it's somewhat difficult. They forget the fact that they can go home in 3 months instead of doing 2 to 4 or 1 to 3. And they panic, and they sign out. And then you get letters from Five Points from them. Rev, I made the dumbest mistake in my whole life. Rev, can you talk to the superintendent for me? I gotta get back in the program. I don't know why I signed up. What am I doing? I'm crying. Why am I at Five Points? You know why? You chose it. I told you in orientation to step up. I told you we'll help you in the first 2 weeks. Don't quit. I told you I'll be there for you. I'll hold your hand if I have to because I don't want you to quit because I need you outside home with your family than in a prison somewhere. I promised you what I would give you. But what did you do? Any available parole officer? Another wimp by the seaside. Another wimp getting into the small van and the small grinder going to Five Points. Instead of stepping up to the plate, I preached hard to my men yesterday. I preached this sermon, but man, I'll tell you, when you're preaching to prison, it's different. Men said, Pastor, that was some sermon. I don't need to hear it some sermon. I need to hear that you're going to be a man of God. It's time to take off the green clothes. It's time to get rid of the DIN numbers. It's time to get out of the system. It's time to marry those women that you have four kids with. It's time to put a ring on her finger. And it's time not to disappoint your kid. Because you promised him a bicycle. And God put a bicycle in Canaan's land. And when you came back, spies, and you were cowards and said, we can't go there, your little kid would say, but Daddy, you promised me a bicycle. You said, Daddy, I was going to buy. Yeah. Son, you're not getting a bicycle. There's giants in that land. But Daddy, God said I could have a bicycle. I had no way of knowing, working at Cougar Home for Children, how I was going to pay for my children's education. I'm an educated man because of what my dad did for me and for my other two brothers. I had no way of figuring out how God was going to send three children to college making $9 an hour. I started making $5.90 an hour when I first started. I worked there 7 years and left making $9 an hour. God opened a Canaan's land for me. God opened a door for me, a blessing, and gave me what I need for my family, for my wife, for my children. I never thought I would have a pension. I didn't have a pension from a church. This church can't afford to give a pension to a pastor. I have a pension. And God forbid if anything happens to me and I die, my wife receives my pension. I have life insurance. Through my job, just by being there, my wife will get 2.5 years of my salary put together. It's an enormous amount of money if I die, plus my pension. I hate Canaan's land because God put me there. And I'm thankful. And I have gratitude. Do I like everything that goes on in my place of employment? Of course not. Nothing's perfect. But that's where God put me. Let me close with this. These people started to rethink. A day late and a dollar short. Being sorry too late. You know, some opportunities are lost forever and never to return. I remember my dad in Brooklyn, New York. I used to go to the soda store with my dad every weekend. In the old soda stores. They used to have the crates and my dad would tell me to pick out 12 bottles, big bottles, and sarsaparilla and root beer and different flavors. My dad always did that for me. But then my dad would travel home, and he would travel through some of the most prestigious areas of Brooklyn. And he said, you see that house? See that house? I wanted to buy it, but your mother stopped me. You see that house, son? I wanted to purchase that, but mom stopped me. You know what my dad was saying? I should have stepped up. I should have stepped up. I should have bought that house because I was able to. I should have bought that property because I was able to. My father had his own business, his own store when he was a young man. My father had a brain. But my father sometimes allowed my mom to control. I had to learn from that. And my dad was pointing those little lessons out from me. Not by giving away his manhood, but trying to teach me manhood. That sometimes in life, son, you have to take a healthy risk. That sometimes in life, you have to step across the line and walk into that place that's unknown to you. Listen to this as I close. Numbers 14 and verse 35. I'm reading from the Message version. I, God, have spoken. I will most certainly carry out these things against this entire evil-infested community, which has banded together against me. In this wilderness, they will come to their end. There, they will die. So it happened that the men Moses sent to scout out the land returned to circulate false rumors about the land, causing the entire community to grumble against Moses, and all these men died. Having spread false rumors of the land, they died in a plague confronted by God. Only Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, were left alive of the men who went to scout out the land. When Moses told all this to the people of Israel, they mourned long and hard. But early the next morning, they started out for the hill country saying, "We're here. We're ready. Let's go up and attack the land that God promised us. We sinned, but now we're ready." But Moses said, "Why are you crossing God's command yet again? This won't work. Don't attack. God isn't with you in this. You will be beaten badly by your enemies. The Amalekites and the Canaanites are ready for you, and they'll kill you. Because you have left off obediently following God, God is not going to be with you in this." But they went anyway. Recklessly and arrogantly, they climbed to the hill country. But the chest of the covenant and Moses did not budge from the camp. The Amalekites and the Canaanites who lived in the hill country came out of the hills and attacked and beat them a route all the way down to Horma. A day late and a dollar short. God says, walk obediently. And when you hear the voice of God and God steps you into a place, you keep walking until he tells you something different. You hear what I'm saying? You keep walking until he tells you something different. The Bible says in Psalm 106:15, he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. You know, some people beg God for stuff so much that God says, "You want it? You want meat? I'll send quail from heaven, but I'll bring leanness to your soul. I don't want my soul to become lean. I want my soul to become fat in the Lord, riches." And my last verse says in Romans 8:37, "Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. For I am persuaded," listen to this now, "that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." What's God saying? My wife asked me numerous times in my lifetime, when things have gone topsy-turvy in our lives and seemingly out of control, "Are we going to get through this?" I said, "We've come through every trial and tribulation thus far in our lives, and there's been many thus far. Why would God not keep his promise to us in this present moment, in this present time, when trial and tribulation comes to us? Why would God fail us now?" I said, "God's in control, and we will, with the help and grace of God, get through this." Ladies and gentlemen, the things that you're going through in your life right now is a test concerning the future of your life. But not only for you, but for your family. You know, I've watched people fall in the ministry. I've watched people do some things that were disobedient to God. And I've seen the fallout on their families, on their posterity. God help me to keep me strong, because I don't want to disappoint my son. I don't want to disappoint my daughters, my son-in-law or my daughter-in-law. Most of all, I don't want to disappoint my wife or my grandchildren. I want them to remember me as a servant of the Most High God that stood in the fight. Whether you're wounded, whether you're bleeding, whether you're hunched over, but you stood in the fight. Paul said, I fought a good fight. Man, I've seen a lot of boxing matches. And I've seen some boxers get beat up in the ring but go the distance and lose the fight. But the opponent said, he fought a good fight. He's the toughest. He's the toughest, you know what, I've ever faced in the ring. And I've seen boxers hug their opponent that they beat up and respect that man. Because he stood in that ring and refused to take a seat and throw in the white flag and say, I quit. And the Bible says, and they continued. And they continued. That's what we're supposed to do, ladies and gentlemen. Continue in the faith until God gives us different direction. Would you stand with me?